Paul Schwartz of the New York Post says, if you want to find out who the coach of the Giants is going to be, tune into the Fan at 2 o'clock. That's a good tease, big boy.
Well, Chris, first of all, let me say Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year's!
And I never consider you B-roll.
That'll boy.
Whenever I think of you, I always think of you more as A-roll.
There you go. Or A something else. Or...
Well, no, you took it there. I didn't take it there.
I know that. I know. Yep. You're too smart for that. That's mm-hmm. why you're not B-roll. That's right. Why you got that column and that beat that you cover. And it is a little beat right now. People are trying to find out what's going on, what they're really looking for, what their number one criteria will be. So give us an update on what you think's going on right now and how they're going about it.
Well, they're going about it very methodically. You know, this is they know the drill, right? It just did it 2 years ago. Round up suspects, some of the usual suspects, some not usual suspects. They've already talked to, Chris Richard, Eric Bieniemy, Mike McCarthy, Wink Martindale later today. Matt Rhule is out there in the weeds, probably on the beach right now in Cabo, right? But he is certainly looming as a strong potential candidate. Joe Judge, the Patriots special teams coach, and Josh McDaniels also kind of in the distance. I think any coaching search nowadays, if you don't put Josh McDaniels on it, it's almost a prerequisite. You got to put his name on it, whether you like him or not. The Giants interviewed him 2 years ago, so they certainly know it's very fresh in their minds. But I still think at the end of the day, it's going to be McCarthy or Matt Rhule.
All right, fair enough. What do you, we talked about, or Mara talked about, and I heard you earlier this week go over it a little bit about, you know, missing the last two and being wrong twice in a row, and we got to get it right this time. What do you think they're most concerned with as they look back on why they missed twice in a row? What are they thinking now? And do you think that they're capable or that they're likely to have learned from their failures like we all hope to do when we fail?
Yeah, you know what, Chris, there's no exact science to this. You know, when you take a guy, let's say, like, look, Mike McCarthy, you kind of know, right? He has a 13-year track record. He has an offense. You kind of have an idea what his staff will be, what his demeanor is like, how he's in interviews, what he's like in the field, all that stuff. We kind of know that. Now, you know, he took a year out. Maybe he's going to clean things up. You go forward. You know, Eric Bieniemy, right? He comes with Andy Reid's stamp of approval. 50 years old, offensive coordinator, was a player, was a college coach, never a play caller, a leader of men. Everyone loves him as a leader of men. Does anyone have any idea if Eric Bieniemy is the next, you know, Doug Peterson or Mike Tomlin or the next failed coach? We don't know. Matt Rhule is barely over 500 at Temple and Baylor. Now, those were bad programs that he made into quality programs, and he has 1 year of NFL experience. It would be a leap of faith to name him the New York Football Giants head coach, but I think that's what the Giants know they have to do as far as they have to break the mold. Pat Shurmur was a mold. They you know what the problem is, Chris? They had it too easy the last two things. After Tom Coughlin, it was going to be very difficult to follow in the footsteps of a guy who won two Super Bowls, right? They had it easy. They took it easy. Who do we do? Well, let's name his offensive coordinator. It'll be the best thing for Eli. McAdoo, he's a young guy. The Eagles have him interest. Easy. He's part. We'll just move around the furniture, and he's the new sofa in the room. Great. Easy. He didn't make it through 2 years, and then what do they do? Let's get the safe, hot coordinator, you know, strong-jawed, had been a head coach, has some experience. Look, that was the Browns that he failed with, the Browns everybody fails with. We can justify that. It was an easy, safe, unimaginative, but decent hire. Didn't last more than 2 years. They have to go out of the box now, and I think they know that. They need a man who, from the day he walks into the building, doesn't have a laminated play sheet in front of him and is not the guru on offensive defense. He is the best leader they can find.
You know, Paul, I mentioned in the first hour, one of my biases is that if you want a coach, then you probably shouldn't be a head coach anymore. That the coaching job, and you've been around the game a long time, so I'm anxious for your opinion, that the head coaching job in the NFL, you know, it's really a misnomer, really. It's not really, yeah, you're a coach, but you're so much more than that, and your time is so fractured as compared to a coordinator or a line coach or a backs coach where you're actually coaching players and your job is very well defined and very singular, and if you're very good at it, you can be good at it. And I guess my long-winded point is, it's not surprising to me that coordinators sometimes aren't good head coaches. Not at all surprising to me, given what the head coach is asked for these days. So if you want to coach, maybe you don't want to coach. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I know what you're saying. I wouldn't just take all the coordinators and say, you know what, I'm a little wary of these guys. But the thing is, you have to look so much deeper than the fact that this guy was successful on this team with this quarterback, or this guy was successful with this defense, with this group of defensive players. That's great. That's why almost any of these guys rise to the level of coordinator and beyond. They're really good at this aspect of football, putting a defense together, working with a quarterback, putting an offensive system together, calling the offensive plays, calling the defensive plays. That's great. But the really, really creative minds in ownership and in the general manager office have to look beyond that. You can't look and say, he worked with Peyton Manning, he's great. He worked with Aaron Rodgers, we want that. That's great. Bring Aaron Rodgers to the Giants, and, you know, I can find you a lot of guys who can work with him at quarterback, right? You know what I mean? Bring the Ravens defense into the MetLife Stadium, and I'll line up 10 guys and say, yeah, go coach the defense. Great. So they I think they've too often, in all of football, but especially with the Giants, have missed on that you need to find the guy. You know what? And I think sometimes when you have the owner and the general manager and maybe the assistant general manager in there interviewing the guys, maybe they need to bring other people in the room who are more skilled at really looking for personality traits and not just gut instincts, and really can, you know, even a member of the media or someone who can really look at it and say, I'm going to ask this guy some questions that are completely out of the box to see, is he a leader or not?
Because, that's a good point, and I agree with wholeheartedly on that. I just think that really, in a lot of ways, as I look at it, you're hiring a three-man team to run your squad, an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, and a head coach, and they all are going to have key responsibilities to your team, and they're going to be different responsibilities, but you need, just like football teams need all three and special teams, your staff needs all three. You just can't get away with a guy who's just X's and O's, or a guy who's just a quarterback guy, or a guy who just runs the defense and doesn't pay attention to the other side. So to me, you know, you're almost, if you're the Maras or any other hiring group, you're hiring a trio that has to work together and have complementary characteristics and aspects of your coaching style that will work as one. It's not enough to have a guy, because now you're trusting that guy to hire the next two most important guys on your team, your coordinators.
Well, that was the key. You said the key word, staff. Staff is crucial. And we saw that the last 2 years with the Giants. Pat Shurmur did not put together a great staff by any stretch. And it hurt the Giants during the week, and it hurt them on Sundays. I don't think the defensive line progressed, Will Hernandez in particular, as much as they needed to. The defensive backfield, I think, was an area of weakness that James Betcher can only do so much. I don't think some of his schemes were the perfect blend for this youth, but I think the coaching on the back end was not as good as it needed to be. So whether it's Matt Rhule or Mike McCarthy or Eric Bieniemy or Wink Martindale, that they have to come in and say, this is who I want to hire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to fill my key positions. And then you have to look and say, are those guys who we want? Not just guys you can get.
Yeah, you're hiring a group, right?
And it's vital, and it's vital. And they don't need the biggest names. You don't need to pull, oh, he'd been a head coach, let's get him in. This guy has a great track record. You need to know that when this guy hits the ground running, he's got guys who can coach, because there is coaching. You know, Chris, the league is younger than ever. Look at all those, as Dave Gettleman said, puppies that they put on the field. They need to be coached like college. They need to be taught fundamentals and discipline. It's not all Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman and you guys know what you're doing out there. These are young guys. So and it's vital that there's a freshness and a new idea theme throughout the whole staff. Staff is vital, and I think at the end of the day, the Giants will pick the coach who they feel will bring in the best staff.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page on that, and not only that, but I really firmly believe, which is a lot of people don't these days, that these young players want to be coached, that they want to get better and they want to be led by somebody they trust. And, you know, if you're interviewing for the head coaching job and you say, I want this guy as my OC and this guy as my DC, I want you to tell me why. You know, I want to be very comfortable with what makes you think that with you and Joe X, who's the defensive coordinator, this OC is the guy that's going to make the difference for us. Why are you so confident in him? Sell me on this guy. And I don't, you're right. I don't care what their names are. You know, whether I've ever heard of them or not means nothing to me. As an owner, though, I want to know why my head guy loves this guy and why he's putting his job on the line by endorsing this coordinator. You know, that's what I'm after.
Yeah, and another thing we have to discuss is that this is New York, okay? Now, the NFL's a big operation, and there is pressure and things that are unique to each situation, but there's something very unique about New York. One coach who worked in New York told me the difference in New York and every other place is how much time you are asked when you're in the room, meaning the football room, you're asked you need to step out of the room to address other things. How many right. times they're taking you out of what you're supposed to be doing, which is in the room, watching film, coaching, talking football, talking about your team, where they said, knock, knock, Chris, Coach Chris, we need you out. We need you out of the room because something you need to talk about, whether it's media, whether it's New York related, whether it's whatever it is, it's New York, everything's bigger. And so they need to make sure that they bring the next guy. Look, Ben McAdoo, I think, got a raw deal in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? I don't think he was this clueless young guy in an oversized suit that people made him out to be. And the team went downhill for reasons that were not all about him. But he probably would have been better off starting as a very young head coach somewhere besides New York. Some of his weaknesses were exposed more in New York. Pat Shurmur did not rise to the occasion. The record was damning. The 9-game losing streak is what got him fired. But he did not rise to the occasion being the New York coach, you know, of the Giants. The next guy has to be. And the one thing you look at that is Mike McCarthy has been around for a while, but it was in Green Bay. Matt Rhule, born and raised in New York City, he knows the deal in New York.
Yeah, that's got to be a plus for him. Paul Schwartz of the Post joining us. So let's close with that. You're right now in the camp that it'll be one of those two. What gives you confidence in saying that?
Well, first of all, some reporting goes into it. Now, they have not even talked to Matt Rhule yet. You know, I mean, right. unless right. Dave Gettleman is flying down to Mexico to meet him on the beach, which is not a vision that any of us want to think about right now. So we'll push that one to the
hey,
side.
Pina Colada is pretty good. I got to tell you, Matty.
Yeah, but it's flip flops and shorts is not the way to get the next head coach of the Giants, right? I think there are some intriguing candidates and. You know, did Eric Bieniemy blow them away this morning? I don't know. I bet you he was really good. You know, people say he was really good. Wink Martindale, people say he's got a little bit of Rex Ryan in him, but not quite the entertainer that Rex is. But,
right.
you know, he's a fiery guy who at the end of the day, Dave Gettleman and, John Mara and Kevin Abrams might want to, chew on some nails and go run through the door without opening it after talking to him. So that might be great. But and I'm sure Mike McCarthy gave a very good presentation.
And Rappaport, by the way, reporting that Rhule and the Giants will meet on Tuesday. So
yep,
that coming off of Twitter and not a surprise to anyone.
No,
that would be
no.
Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, somewhere in there.
Right. It was all expected. He wanted to take a little time off after the bowl game with Baylor. I think at the end of the day, Matt Rhule has checks as Pat Shurmur used to like to say, checks more boxes. Now there are some things there, you know what I mean? There, he's got a big buyout of Baylor. The Giants are going to have to either absorb or, find a way around, probably just have to pay it. Don't forget they will be paying Pat Shurmur for 3 more years or an offset of whatever he makes, somewhere else in the NFL if he gets another job as an assistant. But sometimes college coaches also, you need to, Ernie Accorsi told me once, you don't hire head coaches out of college, you anoint them. And, sometimes these guys want to be anointed. Now, Matt Rhule is not Nick Saban, so he's not Urban Meyer, so maybe there'll be a little less anointing that needs to be done. But, Matt Rhule spent his only year in the NFL with the Giants. He knows the building. He knows the facility. He knows the guts of the operation, even though he was only there 1 year. You know, he makes a lot of sense.
Well, I guess what you and I have come to the conclusion of, and we would advise our readers and listeners out there is to pay attention to who the coordinators are, very much so in 2020, because as we move forward and as this job becomes less about actual coaching and more about all other things, media, dealing with ownership, dealing with the fan bases, dealing with ticket sales, dealing with all the things that they come about, the real coaching is done under the leadership of the head coach, but oftentimes done by the coordinator, the game planning, and the actual face-to-face with each player, getting the most out of each player, often comes from the coordinator on down into the staff. And you and I think in these 20 minutes have agreed that the staff is going to be almost as important as who the name guy who has to answer the questions each week from the media.
You know what? They all get rings when they win. They all get rings. Defensive assistant, the offensive quality control coach, they all get rings when they win. And you know what? They almost all get fired when they lose, so they're all in it together.
No question about it. Hey, Paul, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thanks so much. You got a favorite in the NFL playoffs this weekend? Like the most? Is it the end for New England? Is New Orleans that good? Anybody from this group of eight going to move past the championship game? You got anything for us?
Well, I don't think it's the end of New England this weekend, put it that way.
All right.
I think they're going to the Super Bowl, but I have a hard time believing Ryan Tannehill is going to be the end of Tom Brady's reign. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, all right. He will not be the answer to that trivia question. Paul, enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
There you go. Paul Schwartz of The Post.